Hey, gay ass girlies. I just read a romance horror book that I think you'd be absolutely obsessed with. Listen to this. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue. And at first I was nervous it would be too scary, but y'all, it's scary and horny. And as a newly self-identified slut, I feel seen. Also, it takes place on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest, which I think the Pacific Northwest canonically has the hottest people. So if that doesn't make you squirt, babe, I don't know what will. Also, the book has so many gay-ass themes. I'm talking family drama, there's rumors, manipulation, and again, it's horny as hell. Now, the writing is also so good that it moves real fast and there's kink in it, and you will not be able to put this down. Harley LaRue is a queer writer who gets it. You can find House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold in print and an ebook. The gorgeous deluxe hardcover first printing is only available for a limited time, so grab yours before they are gone, babe.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door. No shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
That's a gay ass podcast.
What? That's a gay ass podcast.
What?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Camden Garcia is a comedian actress who hails from the land of Los Angeles but lives in Brooklyn but is currently in Los Angeles. Camden, pick a lane. Which one is it?
I know. I'm currently unhoused. That's why I'm staying at my family's house because New York is expensive. I'm going back in a couple days, but I spent the month at home to save some money.
And how has it been, Camden, with the parents in LA? Have you been surviving? Have you been allowed to be your gay ass self? How's it going?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. The only thing that's weird is, like, I'm not used to coming home from shows and immediately having to tell my parents how it went. That's hard to sort of be like, and how was it? And it's like, I'm like wiping tears. I'm like,
sure.
That's new, but they're very lovely. They've come to a lot of the shows, which has been wonderful and weird
and assaulting. I think it's so interesting as a gay and entertainment to try to explain to our parents what we do. And if I can be very honest with you, Camden, I've stopped trying.
Yeah, well, mine's actually a slightly different story. Not to expose myself right off the bat, but my dad's also a comedian, so it's like a totally different thing. Of like, he gets it so much that sometimes it's explaining in a different way, which is
crazy.
Wait,
that's huge. I don't think I've ever interviewed a Nepo comedian baby on this gay ass podcast.
Not that it's working. I'm staying at home. I wish I was Maude Apatow.
Well, listen, we can't all be the statuesque Maude Apatow, but we at least can be doing what you're doing, which is having some pretty delicious wins in your career. Can we celebrate Camden Garcia's amazing appearance on Hacks? Can we celebrate Camden's star turn on Frasier, on a recurring role on Sprung, being an amazing, funny, hot comedian? Camden Garcia, no matter what, we can celebrate your gay-ass pink hole, and today we're going to do that. Is that okay?
I wish it was pinker. I have a terrible condition where my butthole looks like poop comes out of it sometimes, and
does it
really?
It's
terrible. Yeah, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
So, you know what's funny is I was at the Korean spa recently, and I did see a dark hole by accident. I think he had the same affliction, but I wasn't. I think it's okay. I think it's okay.
I think it's regular. I would not do well on OnlyFans. They would be mad at me.
Because your hole is not as pink as they want it to be?
I see these boys on Twitter and I'm like, have you ever pooped? Good for them. But
Wait, here's a question. When you hit big bucks and you are out of your parents' home and you have enough dispensable income to bleach your hole, do you say yay or nay?
I don't have a general practitioner. That's a lot of I like I got steps I gotta do before that. I surely I have I gotta have someone take the thing where they listen to
Yeah,
your
we should
heart. I
test
haven't
your
had
blood
that in like
pressure before we
yeah,
go.
there's a lot more in the list to go through. Get a haircut by the same person more than once. Like,
Sure.
yeah.
Oh my God. Haircutting is too deeply emotionally fraught for me. When I moved to LA 4 years ago and I couldn't find someone to cut my hair that wasn't $150, I was like, because I'm someone that is on minoxidil, Propecia day in and day out. Luckily, the minoxidil they pumped up, LA dermatologists don't mess around. They're like, triple the dose. And so, while of course I'm sure I have heart palpitations, I think my hair has grown more, but still, like, I'm deeply afraid to put my head underwater in a pool, you know?
Totally. I did kind of lie. I have found someone for the last couple of haircuts that they're wonderful in Brooklyn, but I do still I every single time I get a haircut, I go home and I cry. But that's just I think that's normal.
I think it's normal. Well, I found my girl Angela in Burbank, and she has now kept me right and tight for the past few years. And without her, I would end it all. But listen,
Yeah.
Camden, I have to have you on Gay Ass Podcast and put my gay ass journalism hat on, which is why we're going to go through a few really pr controversial questions. Question number one: you went to Stage Door Manor, which was my dream. I ultimately did not go to the theater camp at which they filmed the movie camp. Camden Garcia, was it everything you wanted it to be? Did you have a gay awakening at Stage Door Manor? Were you an OTS? What was it called?
ODC,
OTC?
no, I was bad, but I am in my Annie shirt. Yeah. Oh.
Come on,
Yeah. No.
Annie.
I mean, I was already very gay when I went, but no, I was very untalented. So I was sort of in the ensemble of things. I was definitely not an OTC, but I was there to
Tell the
kiss
listeners
boys,
what
which is
OTC
what
is
I
and why
did.
it's so embarrassing that I know what it is.
No, it's crazy. You really got me with that. OTC, Our Time Cabaret. So when Stage Door was like early Stage Door in the early days, I think in the sort of like, Robert Downey Jr. era, it was a select group of kids that were put together in this show choir, and they would travel to the local hotels in the Catskills and perform, and agents would come, and it was sort of like it was a big showcase. And as years went by and all the hotels in the Catskills closed, it just was this little cabaret of selected kids from camp. And so, yeah, by the time I got there, it was just like an additional show you would get to do. And it was the exact same medley of songs. Not a single word had changed since, the turn of the century. But, if you've seen the documentary, if you know anyone from Stage Door, everyone who gets OTC all of a sudden is sort of like royalty on campus. There's a different, set of tables for lunch. It is, there
No.
is, yes, there's the OTC room. It's like they were
There's a
neat.
caste system depending on if you're in the
Oh,
special showcase cabaret.
absolutely. And everyone, when
No.
you went to camp, you had to pack a black outfit with red or white accessories in the hopes that you would be
Just in
picked. Because if you
case.
got cast, you couldn't go shopping. So everyone sort of like had their OTC outfits like waiting. Now, I was lucky because I had been on television, so I got to hang out with the OTC people, even though I was untalented.
I'm so
And
mad that they deemed you.
so,
That's
yeah.
really fucked up. You know what's so
No,
fucked
I
up
couldn't
about?
sing. I was a bad
Well,
singer.
I just think that it's fucked up that we live in a world that people like place value on accomplishments and credits. I still like as someone who
No,
still
I
works in
disagree.
entertainment, you agree? You
No, I
like
disagree.
you
I'm like, I think that is how we people, that's how I got good, was watching people who were better than me get rewarded. And I was jealous. And so I got better.
Oh,
I
I
think,
see.
no, I have very little ta patience for the untalented. It's why I was very unpopular at my BFA.
So you got talent by wanting the treatment of the talented kids.
100%.
Listen,
And like
it's
mean
not a bad
teachers.
counterpoint.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no. I mean, we had this like with this dance teacher at another program I went to. She would like yell at us and throw shoes at us and all that stuff. And I got so good so quick. I was terrified of her.
I did have a very mean voice teacher from all throughout high school that told me I would get into the University of Michigan for musical theater, and then I believed her, and then I did not. But I lived to tell the tale. I guess her intensity did, I guess, help me work hard and get good. I think I got good because I had such internal strife and hatred towards my own self that I was like, I have to prove that I'm a worthwhile human being by getting good at something. And the only thing I could do was a 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think watching the kids that are good be great was always, I always wanted to be at like the cooler kids table in like these programs. And you did that by being impressive. Or like, I remember that we had an improv show at Stage Door once, and that's what I did. And I remember like a lot of the OTC kids like noticed me after I did the improv show, and they were like, you're really good at that. And I was like,
jump. But it's also, I like that you found your lane. I was, and let me be very clear, I was a very untalented child. Like, I was very much like wanted to be on stage but had no reason to be. And it sounds sort of like you had the same journey. But you have a difference, though. You were giving child star, is that correct? Did your comedian dad get you?
Hardly.
But what's the, how, I mean, obviously this podcast talks about gay shit, but I can't help but get into the entertainment of it all. What led, first of all, can you give us a pitch on your dad as a comedian? What, like, his journey has been like? What's it been like for you to join the business? Was he devastated? And then give me the child actor story. I'm so sorry to load you up.
No, of course. The only reason I was a child actor was because my dad would write things on his TV shows, and they were like, we can't find a kid to work opposite a chimpanzee. Like, no one's dumb enough to let their kid do that. And he was like, I got put in a lot of things, I think, because also just like to hang out with my dad on set. So yeah, no, all my child acting stuff was stuff with my dad. I wasn't allowed to like audition for other stuff. And I also probably wouldn't have got it. I was like good after like rehearsals. I was good in that way, but I didn't know like how to audition or how to do any of that. I was very nervous to audition, even at like Stage Door. I remember being so scared to sing.
Yeah.
Like I was one of those kids who like, especially the privilege of being like one of three boys in a theater program somewhere, like I would get a good part, obviously they needed me, and then like by showtime I'd be good because I'd like rehearsed it a lot and like my nerves would be gone. But I was never a kid that was like could walk into a like a Broadway audition room and like sing 32 bars or whatever and be good.
That's very relatable. I was also not a confident king from the jump, but with rehearsal, with hard work and dedication, we can absolutely play crutchies and newsies, which you did. I love to research my gay ass guests. I need to ask, at Stage Door Manor, did you have your first boy-boy kiss there, or did it happen later?
Well, it definitely happened there. I'm like, was it the first one? No, it was. It was like the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one.
Were those all four different boys, or the same boy four times?
Oh, lots of boys. I mean, I was there to kiss boys. I went one season that I couldn't even stay for the shows. I forget why. So I just went, and I was like the assistant director of a show, and I was just there to hang out and kiss boys.
How old were you at this
point? I
don't
regret it. I only went twice. I went once the summer before 7th or 8th grade, and then I went once another time in high school.
Wow. So you really got to spread your gay ass wings and fly. Did you go back home and tell your parents you kissed boys, or was that a shameful secret?
I don't know if I specifically told them I kissed boys, but no, I came out at like 11. So but also still like not wanting to talk to my parents about like the boys I kissed. I still don't really do that.
Yeah, same.
Just because it's like, I don't want to talk to my parents about that.
Wait, can I tell you, Camden, that my mom went and saw Anthony Fauci speak recently, and he talked about the work he did during the AIDS crisis and how PrEP has revolutionized the lives of gay men, and she told me she had never heard of it. And then my dumbass was like, oh yeah, I take PrEP every day. And then I could, you know, feel from thousands of miles away her wheels turning. And then she started, and then I realized I'm not going to talk about to my mom about PrEP and DoxyPep, but
sure.
Listen.
Well, because you're married, right?
Yeah.
So she was probably like,
Well, she already knows from the fucking podcast what some of my extracurriculars are, but that's...
Totally.
Totally. It's an interesting experience. Yeah, to be a gay adult with parents is a privilege, and I do not take for granted, and I know that I'm very lucky to have my parents, and but it's also just interesting to, like, live your gay-ass life as an adult. I mean, you are now, like, calling in from your parents' home while being this gay-ass adult, and that's why, with the paywall going up in just about a minute or two, we're going to get into some of your dating stuff, your hookup stuff, but... Quickly before that, we are recording this the week that Gay Ass Podcast makes history. We have our first ever straight man guest, John Marco Cerezzi, the tall Jewish drink of water, comes on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. But he also was in an infamous Fire Island show performing in a Speedo with Jay Jordan. You also performed in a Speedo at this show. Tell me, Camden, be honest, did you taste the tip?
No, we were there with his girlfriend, who I love. Sure. Yeah, no, but we had the best weekend ever. I mean, so Jay invited me to open for that show. That was kind of the weekend I met Gianmarco. I had done a few shows with him where we were like on the same lineup, but we were just sort of like in passing. Yeah, I got to spend an entire week. Well, first, I was supposed to do 15 minutes open, and Jay was like, we have to cut it to 10. Is it still worth it for you? I was like, still worth it to get a free vacation to Fire Island? I was like, yeah, it's still worth it for me. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I got to spend the entire weekend with two of my literal heroes. And it's just so... I've gotten to open for him a few times since, and it is like one of those just like... I've done my set. It goes well. And then I get to go off stage and watch someone who like has 10 years on me in this. And I just sort of, for both of them, and like, I'm so inspired every time I get to watch them perform, and I'm so in awe. It's just such a, like a pinch me moment where you're like, this is crazy. Like, I still kind of feel like I do stand up as like a joke. Like, it's like, I'm like, this isn't like, I was just sort of like faking it. And I still feel like I'm kind of like faking it, and it happens. I don't know if you feel similarly with your stand-up where it's just like, I can't believe I've tricked these people into thinking like I do this.
Girl, I feel that about everything I do. Totally. I feel it about the podcast. I feel about my comedy. I feel it about my videos. I feel it about... But I think that's unfortunately a part of the human condition. But they have a really like... amazing confidence that of course is earned from the hard work that they've done. But I think that like, it's funny that to hear you say that, I'm like, well, of course you should be doing what you're doing. Like you are amazing too, but it's hard to see it from the inside of the experience.
Yeah. And I don't think I should like not be doing it, but it is one of those things that's like every opportunity that happens. I mean, like not to completely name drop, but like last night I was at dinner with a few comedians frankly gay royalty, and one of the people there was Coco Peru, and I got to just like talk to Coco Peru. Wow. Who I've like sort of like studied for years, and she was so kind and generous and wanted to know about me, and like it's just one of those things that like I do feel like a lot of my life has been like the talented Mr. Ripley, where I've like I find myself in rooms with these people who I idolize, and now they like, you know, sort of see me not as a peer, but even like they see me period. And it's like that whole weekend with Gianmarco and Jay was just like, you know, we're exchanging stories. They're telling, you know, and it's just like, holy shit. Like I have faked my way into somehow like getting these people to see me and think I'm funny, which is crazy.
It's so cool though, but I think the only thing that I have on you, I think, is that because I've interviewed now so many people that I look up to, I have learned that they are just as crazy or insecure or amazing as we are. And I think to like see that, I'm like, oh, just human. Like even my mom, bring up my mom again. The fact that the other day she was like, I'm learning that really these, you know, famous people, they're just people. And it's like, it's kind of a revelatory thought for some of us that like think about like, I mean, think about like who is like one of your, like my example, my hero is Whoopi Goldberg, always will be. I know that Whoopi Goldberg is an icon, and I know that she's a human being. Who is an icon of yours that you would be gagged to be at dinner with, but also know that they're just a human being that's great to kiki with?
Oh, so many. Well, funny that you say Keke with. I think Keke Palmer is my favorite famous person in the whole world.
Oh, yeah.
Like I could watch a Keke Palmer interview every single day for the rest of my life. I love everything she's done, and I do feel like, you know, I grew up watching True Jackson VP and like Aquila and the Bee, and then like, you know, I've seen her do so many things. Like, she's someone who I don't think I don't get starstruck a lot, but my list of like people I would get starstruck for, her,
Absolutely.
Megan Hilty. I can't believe it.
Yes.
Like, I die for Annaleigh Ashford. Like, I love like, you know, the second female lead. Like, that is why I do what I do. Like,
Oh my
you know,
God, the
Missy
second female
Pyle.
lead.
That
Yes,
is
Missy
like
Pyle.
that is, you know, it's my life is like collecting Adelaides. You know what I mean?
I'm hearing title after title after title of either your book or your special, which is like collecting Adelaides or I live for the second female lead. And by the way, we're having a character actress conversation right now, which is very much a part of this, the fabric of this gay ass podcast. But as we put the paywall up, I want to go into the horniest of my questions. Camden Garcia, we talked about John Marco Cerezzi, and I myself am a tall Jewess. How do you feel about hairy men? Go.
I don't I'm uncomfortable with all men. No, I mean, hairy men, great. Sure, great. I don't always love shoulder and back, but that's
Sure.
because it kind
Well.
of reminds me of my dad. So I think that's kind of that's maybe I'm not a but I like when it's just like, you know, that little like tuft here, that's always really good. But I don't have any. Like, naturally, I don't have a single hair on my chest.
Do you
So
wish you
people
did, or
often,
are you thrilled
I don't
with your
know.
yeah.
I mean, it's very convenient when I want to be a girl, but yeah, it's like I don't know. I'm
Why
yeah,
does if
sure.
now putting on my psychologist hat on, when I bring up sexiness with men and you say all men scare me and you tend to get a little butthole clenched, let's get into that, Camden. What's your herstory, either dating or sluttery wise? Are you someone who has been able to express your horniness? Does a fi Do you find that you are still figuring that out? What's the deal?
I'm sort of gay incel, but no, I mean, I kiss lots of boys. I love kissing boys.
Yeah. For the rest of this interview, head to Substack linked in the description. You can also watch bonus episodes with Mikey Graceffa from Death Becomes Her, Isaiah Rutledge, Sunset Boulevard's Jimin Moon. We have Derek Cage, Patrick, Nick, Thanos, Mark. They're all hot. The stories are amazing, and you should go check it out at substack.com/@EricWills, linked in the description. I love you. Bye.